Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody today, especially our visitors. We have some people from Oklahoma, some people from California, some old friends that we've worshiped a number of different congregations for a number of years here in Las Vegas. We're glad to have you. Glad that you came to worship God with us this morning. We're going to look today at the body. Not my body, a body that's much better than mine. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. We're going to start our study this morning in that chapter, and we're going to look at verses 21 through 23. So sad I have to take my glasses off anymore to read up close. I guess I could have Jory hold it for me and read it from there. Jesus is speaking here in Matthew 7, 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name.' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" That is one of the scariest passages in the Bible. It is people that think they are part of Jesus, that think they are part of the body, that take the name, have even done things for Jesus. And Jesus says, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You never were mine." And I would like for us to look at the body, us. Not just us here in these four walls, but the body of Christ. In Colossians 1:18, Preston read this earlier in our worship service. Paul is writing to the Christians in Colossae, and he says, "And he, talking about Jesus, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." The body is the church. We are the body. In Ephesians 4, verse 4, Paul wrote, "There is one body." One body. Not one group of people that were meeting together. One body. And one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. In that chapter, he's going to talk about one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is a lot of religious teachings out there that talks about, I've had discussions with people myself over this, and this is quoting them almost word for word. "Oh, we're all just going to the same place. We're just getting there in different ways. What does it matter how? Well, as long as you believe in Jesus." Well, those people in Matthew 7 believed in Jesus. They did works in his name. They believed in him. But he says, "I never knew you. You're not part of the body. You're not one of mine." I'd like to break the word body down. B-O-D-Y. Who is the body? Us, the brethren. We are the body of Christ. our brothers and sisters. We are the body of Christ. A lot of times, especially in the New Testament, the church is described compared to a family. A family relationship. A head. Brothers and sisters. The purpose of a family. Now, let me back up for a minute. Maybe not all of us sitting here this morning was raised in a loving, nurturing family as God designed. Not all of us have that advantage. But whether we were or weren't raised in a functional, loving, nurturing family, we can learn it from the Word of God. We can learn what a true family should be like. There's a lot of people that grow up in situations far from desirable. Maybe abusive parents. Never once when it's compared in a family setting about our brothers and sisters and the body, the church, never is it in that setting. But one, even if they were raised in horrible conditions, and they have no idea what a loving father or mother is, or loving brothers and sisters, we can learn it through the church, through the Bible. We can learn that concept that God designed to be like that. The purpose of the family, even though some people grow up with the family biting at each other and whipping each other and saying hurtful things to each other, and that's not what we see as family in the Bible. We strengthen, we encourage. That's what we do as a family. We teach. All the way back in the Old Testament, we see that the parents were to teach their children the Word of God, to write it on their hearts, to teach them as you rise up, as you walk by the wayside, as you lay down at night, to teach the Word of God, to protect. One of our jobs as a family, to protect each other doctrinally from ravenous wolves. We're warned that there are some in sheep's clothing in the body, to protect each other, to warn each other, to encourage, to strengthen. The Bible doesn't talk about the body in the way of the world, that its purpose is to run over each other, to step on each other to get to the top. That's what we learn in the world. But who is the body? It's us, our brothers and sisters, the brethren, the church. In Ephesians 1, in verses 22 and 23, says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." When it talks about Christ being the head, head of what? Us. And he has full authority, full say-so, full leadership. He is us. We, his brethren. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." I love in 1 Corinthians where Paul gets into the, when we're not going to do this today, we've had sermons on it before, about the different functions of the body. Not every one of us have the same function. Not at all. But we are members. My hand, my leg, my big toe, my tongue, my ear, it's all part of my body. We are unique. Some of us more unique than others. What does it say? We're called a peculiar people sometimes. Some of us are more peculiar than others, me. But we are one body, just like our body has different members. Hand, fingers, ears, nose. It's part of the one body. We have different members. We have different functions, different talents, different abilities. But we function together as one body. And we are the body of Christ. How do we get into the body? The O, be obedient to God's word. Obedience. We can't work our way to heaven. You know, there are religious people out there. Oh, you people think you can work your way to heaven because you focus on baptism and body. You know. There's nothing we can do to work our way and earn our way to heaven. Luckily, God's grace can outshine all of the work we do. But even in spite of God's grace, which appeared to everybody, not everybody will take advantage of God's grace. Not everybody will be obedient to have access to God's grace. We have to be obedient to His word. In Acts 2, this is the chapter where Peter on the day of Pentecost delivered an unbelievable gospel sermon. It was relatively short. It talked about how God sent His Son, and the Jews who should have known through the prophecies, through the Old Testament writings, should have known that this was the Messiah, the Christ. You killed Him. And in verse 37, it says they were cut to the heart. It cut them to the heart. And they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter responded in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." And it goes on to say in verse 40, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then, those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." They were obedient. They were cut to the heart. And they cried out to Peter and the others, "What shall we do to be saved?" They found out. Peter told them. And then they all shook hands, went and had lunch. No. They then obeyed what Peter said. Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized." They continued on, those who gladly received his word. Not everybody would have received it. Not everybody gladly received it. Some probably did one of these and went to have lunch. But those that gladly received his word were baptized. And 3,000 souls were added to them. Just a couple of verses later, in verse 46, it says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, those who are being saved. We don't join. We don't buy our way in. We are added by the Lord when we are obedient to God's word. Why should we be obedient? According to many religious people out there, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. I remember in times past, people would say, just put your hand on the television. And don't forget to send that check in. Put your hand on the TV. Why should we be obedient? D, it's our duty. There's a lot of people in the world that find words like duty, responsibility, as bad words. I hold those words very highly. I don't see duty. Sorry to say, I don't see duty as a four-letter word, but yeah, it is. I don't see duty as a bad word. I don't see it as something bad. It is my duty. God did His part for my salvation. He gave His Son. Jesus did His part, allowed Himself to be cruelly sacrificed. Why should I get bent out of shape if I have to do something? It is my duty. And anything I'm asked to do is not what God and Jesus did. It pales in comparison. In Luke 17:10, Jesus says, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Don't do it like the scribes and the Pharisees, that they do something and they want to get that pat on the back by people. Did everybody see what I just did? I'm fasting, I put ashes on and ratty clothes and a long face. Did everybody see what I'm doing? Jesus tells them, when you've done all that you're supposed to do, it was our duty. You didn't really do anything above and beyond. You did what you're supposed to do. John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's an if. It's your choice. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm not holding a gun to your head. If you love me, keep my commandments. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, this is one of the last things that Jesus told His disciples before He ascended into heaven. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Make disciples, teach them to be obedient. Baptize them, just like the other people have done. And I will always be with you. Who needs to do this? The why? You. Me. You individually. Us as a body need to be obedient. Not everybody else. You ever catch yourself? I sure hope so-and-so's listening to this sermon. They really need to hear this. You ever, Ever catch yourself saying that to somebody else or even thinking it? You know, I always make sure that the things being preached about is something I can take to heart. Because I figured if nobody gets anything out of it, at least I will. At least I know one person every week can use the sermons. And that's me. Who needs to be obedient? Who is part of the body? We are. Not everybody else. You. Pull your own weight. My mom used to say, paddle your own canoe. We didn't have a canoe. But I'd never been in a boat until I was older. But I knew exactly what she meant. Paddle your own canoe. But mom, we don't have a canoe. We don't even have a paddle. Paddle your own canoe. And do what you can. Be the best you can be. You don't have to be the best somebody else. Be the best you can be. In Titus 2:1, Paul is telling Titus, in fact, we looked at this last Sunday night, this verse. But as for you, Paul had sent Titus to Crete to oversee the selection of elders. That was the one thing that group was lacking, was an eldership. And he explained to Titus why we need elders, because there are people out there teaching false doctrine. There are people out there that are doing things that they ought not to be doing. And he says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. He's not talking about everybody else. He's talking to Titus. But as for you, you do these things. I love in John 21, this is toward the end of Jesus' ministry, and he had just talked to Peter, signifying and foretelling the kind of death Peter will have, that he himself will be crucified in the future. And Peter will respond as only Peter. In fact, I'm already starting, Colin suggested a study, maybe some sermons on the apostles. And I think that will be a very good study. But Peter, as we already know, Mr. Impetuous, Mr. Have to ask a question, whatever, says, Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, talking about John, because it was talking about the one that leaned on Jesus' breast at the supper. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Okay, you're telling me I'm going to be crucified. What about John? Well, what about these guys? What's going to happen to them? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. I'm not talking to John. I'm not talking to Andrew. I'm not talking to Matthew. I'm talking to you. You follow me, regardless of what others do. Why? It's your duty. I'm telling you to. And I'd like to end with a question. Are you in the body? 99.9% of the people I'm looking at out here today, I know. I've seen some of you baptized. I know you are part of the body. But a question, a sincere question, you have to ask yourself, because you don't want to be caught up like those people in Matthew 7. Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that? And then Jesus tells us, depart from me, I never knew you. You never were part of me. You never were part of the body. But I did this. are you part of the body? Have you done the commandments that Jesus have said? Have you, I know you've heard the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. I think because you're here, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 8:24. Do you confess that verbally to people? Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus says, if you confess me before people, I will confess you to my Father in heaven. Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and again in verse 5, same thing. He repeats himself that we've got to repent. That if we don't repent of our sins, we will die in our sins. We've got to be baptized. It is as plain as day, Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then we have, once we are baptized, we've got to remain faithful. Revelation 2:10. Jesus says, be faithful until death, and you'll receive a crown of righteousness. Most of us are on that phase right now, remaining faithful. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, if you're not fully convinced through the Word of God that Jesus is the Son of God, we've got plenty of people here that would love to study with you and show from the Bible. You will not get, in my opinion, or I think, or I feel. We will open up book, chapter, and verse to show you that Jesus is the Son of God. Whatever your need, if you need to repent of your sins, if you would like to identify with us here at South Valley as the congregation, the portion of the body, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. If you'd like to be a portion of that body that meets here, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, state your need as Colin leads us in the invitation song. Let us stand.